All you sweat hogs, sit down. It's time for the SwampSwami.com sports podcast.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back.
What? Well, I don't understand this. Swamp Swami returns from spring break. Yeah, I'm old enough to remember when the term spring break was primarily for college students. But apparently, spring break now extends to giving the entire week off to high school, middle school, and even the elementary school kids, too. My long-suffering sports wife works on a schedule based on the local school calendar, so last week, we visited one of our two sons, and also two of our grandsons, prior to heading to Gulf Shores, Alabama for a few more days of vacationing. Ah, lots of fun, but not enough time to keep up with sports. But never fear, we're going to catch up right now. First, March Madness, the men's side. The University of Miami, Ohio Redhawks were the lone unbeaten men's team in the nation, coming into last week's Mid-American Conference Tournament. The 20th-ranked Redhawks took their perfect 31-0 record into last week's opening round game against the University of Massachusetts, which was 17-16. Miami was only the fifth men's college hoops team in the last 25 years to post a perfect regular season record. Well, until last Thursday, UMass took the lead with 30 seconds left in the game to hand the Redhawks an 87-83 loss. But would you believe that some of TV's talking heads actually felt that 31-1 Miami should not be playing in this week's 68-team NCAA men's basketball field? And some of those same people suggested that a 17-16 Auburn Tigers team, just 7-11 during SEC play, should have been receiving Miami's spot in the tournament field. Maybe that's why we called this madness. For those who favor March Madness invitations going to any sub-500 big conference school like Auburn, please name me the last time that any team with less than 20 regular season wins has made it into the Final Four. I'll go ahead and wait while you ask your favorite search engine. Time's up. The answer? Zero. I understand that Auburn played a really tough slate of non-conference games this year. The Tigers lost to top 10 teams like Houston, Michigan, and Purdue in the opening months. However, Auburn also lost 8 of 10 SEC games played during the final weeks of the regular season. So if Auburn cannot beat the teams in the SEC, why should they deserve to play for the national championship? However, what have the Miami Redhawks done to deserve their bid? Miami of Ohio plays in the Mid-American Conference, and that conference has never produced a men's basketball team which has reached the Final Four. Miami posted a really solid 25-9 record last year, and prior to 2025, though, the Redhawks had not won 20 basketball games in a season since March of 1999. Yeah, the school is not exactly a basketball juggernaut, but this year's team raced out to a 31-0 start, featuring six games which Miami won by 3 points or less. Yep, they've been lucky, but they were also really good. The running Redhawks scored 100 or more points in 8 games this year. The NCAA, quote, rewarded 31-1 Miami of Ohio with a play-in game on Wednesday night against 20-13 SMU. The tip-off, in case you want to watch, is at 8:15 p.m. Central Time on True TV. The winner advances to play number 6 seed Tennessee, who's 22-11, on Saturday afternoon in Philadelphia. Meanwhile, Auburn is playing, it's just the NIT tournament, beginning tonight at 9 p.m. Central Time against South Alabama, who comes in at 20-11. McNeese State's home court advantage would lead to a rout over number 1 seed SFA. 4 years ago, the city of Lake Charles, Louisiana, became the home city for the Southland Conference Men's Basketball Tournament. The games were all played on the campus of McNeese State University. The host city's Cowboys were already coming off back-to-back NCAA March Madness seasons. Unlike previous years, though, the 2026 top seed in the Southland Conference Men's Tournament was Stephen F. Austin. The Lumberjacks posted a nifty 20-2 conference record to edge out McNeese by one game for the number 1 seed in the men's tournament. The two teams, which were both 28-5 for the season, met in last week's conference finale. The hometown McNeese fans packed the gymnasium to standing room capacity and cheered on their team to a resounding 76-59 win over number 1 seed SFA. The Lumberjacks fell behind by 20 points early in the second half, and they never really recovered. McNeese State will enter its third straight NCAA men's basketball tournament as the number 12 seed against number 5 Vanderbilt of the SEC. That game tips off on Thursday at 2:15 p.m. on True TV. Stephen F. Austin, though, accepted a bid into the NIT tournament. They're traveling to face Tulsa in the opening round tonight, Tuesday, at 8 p.m. Now let's talk March Madness women. Historically, there's been a wide gap in the women's college basketball between the haves and the have-nots. This year has been no different. The number one overall seed, UConn Huskies, are the only remaining unbeaten women's team entering this season's March Madness basketball tournament for the ladies. Connecticut is now 34-0, and they're a whopping, are you ready, 54-point favorite over number 16 regional seed UT San Antonio, who comes in at 18-15. Now out west, number 2 overall seed UCLA is an impressive 31-1. They're a 52-point favorite in their opening round game against number 16 seed California Baptist, which checks in at 23-10. The other two top-seeded women's teams are 31-2 as well. South Carolina and Texas, both of the SEC, and both are going to be prohibitive favorites in their first round games as well. This wide gap between the top 16 teams in the nation and the rest of the women's field is why the NCAA has continued to play the opening two rounds of their tournament in the home market of their top 16 teams. But what happened last weekend to Louisiana Tech's Lady Texters? Louisiana Tech's women's basketball program was one of the early giants in the sport. They won national titles in 1981, 82, and then again in 1988. The Lady Texters remained a regular NCAA March Madness participant through the year 2006, but since then, Louisiana Tech's women's teams have fallen in decline. The team has not made the NCAA women's tournament field in 20 years. This year's Louisiana Tech women's team, though, was steamrolling opponents during a 19-game winning streak. The team was 26-5 and number one seed in the Conference USA, entering Saturday afternoon's title game in Huntsville, Alabama. Their opponent was 21-12, number six seed Missouri State. They were playing in their very first Conference USA season. The winner received an automatic bid into the NCAA March Madness women's field. And that tournament finale Saturday produced not one player on either side who shot better than 50% from the field. Oh man, it was terrible. Tech clanked 15 of 66 shots to the basket. That's just 23%. Missouri State wasn't much better, 17 out of 52 from the field for just 33%. Final score, Missouri State 43, Louisiana Tech 38. Whew, that game stunk for the entire 40 minutes. I know, because I watched it. The Lady Bears of Missouri State, a deserving winner in the game, by the way, advanced into the NCAA's tournament as a 16 seed. Louisiana Tech accepted a bid into the Women's Basketball Invitation Tournament, the WBIT. They're traveling to Houston and will play 28-5 Rice on Thursday. That should be a good game. Speaking of women's basketball, LSU women's coach Kim Mulkey told her assistant coach to hit the road. Last week, LSU women's assistant basketball coach Gary Redis was hired by Rutgers of the Big Ten Conference. He offered to stick around Baton Rouge, though, to help his boss Kim Mulkey prepare the number 2 seed LSU Tigers in this week's NCAA March Madness opening round games in Louisiana's capital city of Baton Rouge. Instead, Kim Mulkey told him, "Get out of here." Well, politely, that is. She added, "You can't be married to two wives." The LSU women's coach advised her ex-assistant coach that Redis needed to spend the next few weeks getting to know his players at Rutgers up in New Jersey. And there's a good chance that another LSU basketball assistant, Daphne Mitchell, is going to join Gary Redis' new staff at Rutgers. While that's happening with the LSU Lady Tigers, what's happening to the defending champions of baseball, the LSU baseball team? Last year's national baseball champions have been playing like a group of neighborhood kids in a pickup game. This year's team is really struggling to find their identity. LSU lost 2 of 3 SEC games to Vanderbilt over the weekend in Nashville and dropped to 14-7 on the season. And that's nearly half the number of losses which LSU posted last year in 2025 in a 56-15 national championship season. The 2026 version of the Tigers are worst in the 16-team SEC in pitching. They're allowing 5.24 earned runs per game. LSU pitchers have also served up a league-high 18 home runs through the first 21 games. The Bayou Bengals are dead last in the SEC in fielding as well. LSU's committed 25 errors in 21 games and have turned a league low of just 5 double plays. Yikes! Coach Jay Johnson is trying to remain positive and patient as his team contains a number of transfer players. Well, LSU needs to complete its 2026 chemistry experiments rather quickly. The Tigers play intrastate rival Grambling on Tuesday night in Baton Rouge prior to hosting an important SEC weekend series against number 7, University of Oklahoma. The LSU baseball season is only going to get tougher after tonight's game with the G-Men in Baton Rouge. Come back tomorrow and let's pick those NCAA men's and women's March Madness fields. I'm Swamp Swami.